So, Father, now as we hear your word, you tell us that your word is living and active. And so we're believing that your word is going to go forth today into each heart, into each mind, and that it is going to change us today, body, soul, and spirit. So we're expecting to meet with you and hear from you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with having you take a little journey with me. So let's say that you're taking a class in world cultures. Now, you know, for many of us, world cultures class was 40 years ago or more, right? Some of us 20, 30. So, but let's say you're taking a world cultures class, and as part of that, you're sent to Washington, D.C. And what you're sent to do is to visit some embassies. So you first walk into the England, British embassy. And when you go in there, you see the British flag and you hear the British national anthem, which you'll recognize. And you'll be in there and the ambassador will come up. And he'll greet you and speak to you and thank you for coming in. And he represents the government of Britain, right? And so you can almost picture his accent, right? Don't you just love some of those accents? Then you go into the French embassy, and you walk in, and there's a picture of the Eiffel Tower and various things, and everything is in French, and you don't know any French, you know, but the ambassador, because he's serving in the U.S., he has to know English, and he comes out and greets you in the name of the French government. And then you go into the Japanese one, and it's quiet, serene, and there's water flowing, and there's quiet music playing, and the ambassador comes out, and she's dressed in one of those robes that they wear, and she's representing Japan. Okay, so now you fly over to another country. Let's say you're in Kenya, and you're driving, and you're driving, and somehow you have gotten lost. Your GPS just isn't doing its thing, and you've been driving around for like 2 hours, 3 hours. You can't find your hotel. You landed there, but you're just lost. You don't speak any of the language. You don't know anybody there, but you drive down the street and see the American flag. Come on. And you pull in, and it's the American embassy, and they're there representing the American government in Kenya. And you go in and they say, okay, here's where you are. And you go down three blocks and turn right and go three blocks and there's your hotel. So they are there representing the government of the United States. When they speak, they're speaking on behalf of the government of the United States. So here's my first point. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. So that means everywhere we go, we are representing God in his kingdom. Now, it doesn't take a whole big stretch of imagination to say we're living in a foreign land. Come on. Yes, this is the U.S., and yes, I love the U.S., and I still get choked up with the pledge and the American anthem and all that, but this is a foreign country. This isn't our home. Our home is there. But we're representing God's kingdom here. Oh, Pastor Steve, I don't know. Okay, well, good. I'm glad you said that. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, something that never existed before. You've completely changed. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. How many can say, thank you, Jesus? Woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Kurt wasn't here to hear the whoop-whoop. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you catching that? He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us. Okay, who's us? Are any of you and us? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, so like in case you don't understand what that means, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So that means every single person you encounter, Jesus died for. And every single person you encounter, his heart is that they would be reconciled to God through Jesus. Yes? Okay. Regardless, how cranky, how crabby, how mean, the language they use, their lifestyle, their nationality, their culture, their religion, how they vote. Ooh, okay? You got that. Every single one. Not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, having said all of this, just to make sure you got it now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. There we go. As though God were making an appeal through us. See, when you represent your government, you're making an appeal on behalf of your government. You're representing your nation. And through us, God is saying this: we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So that's our message. If you want to say, well, how am I an ambassador? Because you're to go to each and every person that you have an encounter with and say, God wants to be reconciled with you through Jesus. That's our message. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it's one thing to represent a government, to represent a kingdom, God's kingdom. But you know, we have something even more than that, that earthly ambassadors do not have. I want you to think about that a second. We have something a little bit different than people who represent nations. What is different with us is we have God within us. So we're not just doing this out of knowledge. We're not just doing this out of emotions for our love for our country. But we have him actually living within us. You don't have to turn to any of these. I'm just going to quickly share five scriptures. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he abides in us because he's given us his spirit. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be ready to share the hope that is within you. So Christ as Lord in your hearts. From Colossians 1. The mystery has now been revealed. It's Christ in you, the assurance, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Ephesians 4:6. Because we are his children, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son Jesus into our hearts. Come on. God has sent forth Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. And what happens when that Spirit arrives in our hearts, when we accept Christ and become a Christian and become that new creature? That spirit within us cries out on our behalf, Dad, Father, to remind us that our relationship, our salvation, isn't based on works. It's not based on obeying a list, but it's based on us being adopted and we're now his sons and his daughters. And 2 Corinthians 1:22, God has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So that means that everywhere that you and I go, we bring Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, they come with us. So we're ambassadors, but we also bring the kingdom with us. And because of that truth, things change. Things change. The scripture actually says that when we walk into a situation, we bring a fragrance. Okay, so I want to make that real to us this morning. So let's think about a couple things. Now, maybe you're a coffee drinker, maybe not, you know, but if you're a coffee drinker and you wake up in the morning and you step into a room and there's that smell of coffee.
Yes.
Maybe you're a chocolate person. I'm not. I like vanilla. But you're a chocolate person. And you come home from work and you open the door and your wife has made a chocolate cake and just taken it out of the oven and set it on the counter and she's mixing up the chocolate icing. Come on. Fragrance. Okay, so we have some not so great ones either. Now, maybe none of you have done this, and I used to laugh to think that people did this, and I remember Pastor Al sharing a story that he did this, but then I did it. So, you know, I really shouldn't have. So you go to the grocery store and you get 5 bags of groceries. You come home, you carry 5 bags of groceries into the house, right? And so the next day you use your vehicle and everything seems the same. And then the next day when you go out and you get in, oh, something smells pretty bad in here. I don't know what that was. Maybe somebody had BO. So you put your window down a little bit and you make it through the day. And then that day it's 95 degrees. And the next day you go out and you open the door and, okay, now it smells like somebody just vomited in your car, right? And you hunt all over the car and hear somehow a piece of meat rolled out of your bag and under the seat and it's been there for 4 days now. Yeah, a fragrance. And if you ever tried to clean that out of a vehicle, yeah, or you spilled a quart of milk, and you know what that smells like in 4 or 5 days, right? So I don't want to leave you with that. So let's think about you're invited to somebody's house and you didn't know they did this, but they make homemade bread. My wife does. I love that smell. You open the door and the yeast smell and the baking bread smell hits you, right? And then here's another one you can all relate to. You're invited to somebody's house for Thanksgiving and, you know, you're carrying in your green beans or whatever, but you open the door and this roast turkey smell comes out. Come on. Now who wants to go home and make roast turkey, right? Okay, so are you getting we are the fragrance of Christ? We're back in 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So when we walk into a place, into a situation, the spiritual realm recognizes that you just showed up with Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Remember, you aren't just a representative. You bring them with you. And then people who are sensitive to things in the spiritual realm, they'll smell us. So you and I should not be surprised when we walk into a situation and there's some kind of reaction. All right, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, and to the other, an aroma of life to life. So that's why there's a reaction, because to some, they don't want God to show up in their situation. Because if they do, then they have to change their lifestyle or adjust something. So when you show up, they're not going to be thrilled that you showed up and brought God, Father, and Jesus with you. Other people have been praying and say, God, I need you to be real today. And then you and I show up. So number one, we're ambassadors. Number two, you and I bring the fragrance of God because we bring Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit with us. And number three, we are light and bringers of the light. I know we've just talked about this recently, so this is mostly a reminder. But in John 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 10. You know, I don't think we read these verses a lot because they're not victory verses. They are, but we don't recognize them as such. So like when we want to be encouraged, we don't naturally turn to these. And when we read them, we don't yell, "Amen, praise the Lord." You ready? But is it truth? Yeah, and it's what Jesus taught. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. Huh? And you know that blessed means happy, right? Yeah. So I'm happy when people insult me. Okay. And persecute you. Oh, yay. And I love this next one. And falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Okay, they don't just say bad things about you, but they say false bad things about you. Come on. And here's how you're to respond when those things happen, when you're insulted, when people say things against you that isn't true, when you're persecuted. Rejoice and be glad. Who has to work on these? Woo! Hey, if any of you are there, let me know how you got there, because I'm still on a journey. Rejoice and be glad. What, Marty? That is what it says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, we bring salt and light, and we bring Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and not everybody is happy about that. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it become salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are. Remember before we read, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Now Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Come on. Anybody in here does not apply to that you? You, 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 you. You. See, I can go around and look at all of you. There isn't quite as many as there is some weeks, and I just did that in 30 seconds. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does someone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we cause a reaction. Think about salt. When you take salt and sprinkle it on food, it changes the flavor of the food. And you've probably heard this expression. How about putting salt on an open wound? Ouch. So we bring salt, and it's going to cause a reaction. Then we bring light. And what does light do? Light reveals what's hidden in darkness. But what if you wanted it to stay in the dark? And now we show up and we bring light, and that brings things to light. So some will rejoice when we come into their life, into their situation, into wherever they're out shopping or wherever they're working, and we come. Some will say yes, because we bring hope and light and life, because they've been praying and saying, "God, reveal yourself to me today. I need somebody to just smile. I need somebody to be kind to me. I need somebody to offer to pray for me." Maybe they recognized that they were living in darkness and wanted to change, but had no idea how to change. And God wants you to be that person to show them how to change. Maybe they were without hope and in despair, and they cried out to God, "I need help today." And you're that person to help them today. But then we have to recognize reality. There'll be others who currently like their deeds, and they don't want their deeds exposed. There's others who are actually hoping that the God they heard about who is angry, who wants to punish them, who wants them to go to hell and burn in fire, because, you know, some churches over the years have taught that, they're actually hoping he doesn't exist. And then you show up and say, God exists. So when you show up in their life and in their situation, you're showing up, but so is Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And you're bringing light, and you're bringing salt, but you're bringing something else. You're bringing love. And I alluded to that this morning when I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to have us pray that love come and dissolve our walls. Sometimes nothing else will do that but God's love. And I'm not talking about the ooey-gooey February Valentine's kind of love, even though I really like that kind of love and like to give and receive that kind of love. And I'm not talking about, oh, I have such wonderful close friends that I couldn't go through life without. Yep, that's great. But the kind of love that changes people and changes situations is referred to as agape love, the kind of love that God has. And sometimes we picture that as one of these other kinds of love. And so we want to look at Scripture today to say, hey, what does God's love actually look like? So we're back in Matthew 5 when Jesus says some things that are very challenging. But remember, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. So if Jesus reacted this way, if Jesus responded this way, and he tells us to act and respond this way, then that is love. Okay, you ready? This is a little challenging. I forewarned you. Little challenge. Okay, Matthew 5. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Yeah. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, offer him the other one too. Yeah, okay, there's another one of those. I want to put that on my refrigerator. That if I go out today and somebody goes smack, I go, okay, here, you may as well do the other side. That's what it says. If someone wants to sue you to the point that they're actually taking your shirt off your back, say, well, here, you can have my coat too. If you're in that big of a need, then you can have my shirt and my coat. Am I making this up, or is this in your translation? Maybe it's only in my translation. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So back then, the Romans could force somebody to carry their equipment for them a mile if they were a soldier and exhausted, and they saw you standing out in your front yard trimming bushes or whatever. They could say, hey, I need you to carry my stuff a mile. So if they force you to carry it a mile, say, you know what, you're tired, and you're exhausted, and you've been doing this every day, all day, I'll carry it a second mile for you. I don't know. I don't always act like this. Maybe you all do. Maybe you've got this. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor. Yay, I like that. Love my neighbor. And hate your enemy. Okay, but I say, ouch. Okay, this is what Jesus thinks of love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I told you this was challenging. I warned you. So that you may be sons, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. Because he causes his sun to rise on both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love only those who love you, what reward will you have? Do not even tax collectors do that? And if you greet and are friendly, only with your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the non-Jewish people who don't believe in God do this? Therefore, you are to be mature or perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. So what is your response when somebody insults you? When somebody speaks against you? When somebody doesn't want to accept you or what you have to say? Somebody even rejects you. What is your response? My response isn't always the best. So I think God's challenging us today. This is what love looks like, because Jesus came to represent God the Father, and he came to love. And this is what love looks like. So I think we have a little growth there, folks. What do you think? So we're going to look at a story today that's a practical application of what we just heard Jesus talk about. This is Acts 14. So you know all about Paul, okay? Paul persecuted the church. God encountered him on the way to arrest Christians and throw them in jail. He was blinded. He sent someone to tell him, hey, this is Jesus, and I have a plan for your life. You want to go with the plan? And Paul decided to go with the plan. And then he was set apart by the church to be an evangelist and a missionary, and he's out now on these missionary journeys. So think about this. He's in God's will. He's following God's call and God's plan for his life. So that means everything's going to be wonderful. Ha! Marty, ha! All right, so Acts 14. So they go to this city called Iconium, and they entered the synagogue of the Jews together, and they spoke in such a way that a large number of the people believed, Jews and Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. So what would you do then? So you go to this place, you speak in the church, people believe, but then a whole crowd of people hate you and don't like what you're doing. So I don't know. I think about whether it's time to move on. Look what they did. Therefore, they spent a long time there. Come on. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting them signs and wonders to be done by their hands. They decided to stay in spite of persecution, and God witnessed that his word was true, that they were speaking, by causing there to be signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some sided with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews, along with the rulers, to mistreat and stone us, then we became aware of it and fled to the surrounding cities. Okay, so now the whole town is coming after you, and you decide, you know, well, I guess now I better leave. And so you go to the surrounding cities, and you think, okay, I'm just going to hide out here. I'm just going to be quiet for a little while. Let everything calm down. And there they continued to preach the gospel. See, we're trying to get a picture. What does love actually look like? What does it practically look like? Okay, so now they're in another town called Lystra. Verse 8. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he fixed his gaze on him, this is Paul, fixed his gaze on him, and saw that this man had faith to be made well, he said in a loud voice, "Stand up!" And he leapt up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul has done, they raised their voices, saying in their language, the gods have become men and come down upon us. Okay, so now that crowd's going the whole other direction. That crowd's saying, hey, for someone to do this, they must be gods. So Paul addresses that and says, no, that's not what we are. We're just here representing Jesus. Verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. That was the places that they were just chased out of. And having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul. Now, do you understand what that means? That means you get stones and rocks, and you throw it at a person until his body is so bruised and broken, you actually kill him. Doesn't that just sound wonderful? I mean, I'd rather you just get a gun and shoot me, right? Because then you're instantly gone. You're not standing there being plummeted to death with rocks and bruised and your bones are broken and your nose is broken and then eventually you die. Yeah, oh, that just sounds wonderful. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So he was so bruised and beaten that he actually appeared to be dead. The disciples stood around him. What do you think they were doing? Declaring life and healing back into Paul. And he got up and ran as fast as he could the other direction. Wait a minute. I don't think anybody's version says that, does it? He got up and went back into the city. What? They just stoned you. What is the matter with you? Love. Not wanting any to perish. The next day they went away with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, now listen, this is what I want us to catch here at the end. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. The three cities that had just chased them out, stoned him, they went back to it. What'd they do? They strengthened the souls of the disciples. They encouraged them to continue in the faith. And they said, through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. They appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and fasted with them, and they commended them on their way. So what does love look like? Does it look like getting offended, getting upset, walking away and stop sharing your faith? Stop being light, stop being salt? Does it mean that when you leave the situation, leave the town, leave the workplace, that you take Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit with you? Or does it mean that you return to those situations and those people and those cities with power, love, and forgiveness? Come on, is that a challenge today? It's a challenge for me. We are ambassadors of God. We bring a fragrance. We represent Jesus. Okay, that word, a lot of our English words are two words that we've smushed together. So you are representing Jesus to the group. So they may have never heard of Jesus, or maybe they heard of Jesus when they were little kids in Sunday school, have not had a representation of Jesus for 10, 15, 20 years. And you show up, and now you're representing Jesus to them. You're saying, this is what God's really like. This is what Jesus is really like. This is why God sent Jesus down, because he loves you and wants to be reconciled with you. When you share that kind of message, it changes people's lives. Because now they've heard the news and they have to go home and think about that news. And they're responsible for their choice. But your job was to be salt and light. Your job was to be that fragrance. Your job was to bring Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit into the situation. To bring light and salt. And we just read, not everybody's going to be thrilled about that. But you choose to keep doing it. You choose to not stop. because we're to love like Jesus loved. So this section we enjoy a little better, and I think it's a good one to end with. Because yes, love is what Paul did. Love is what the disciples did by going back regardless of being persecuted. But it also looks like this. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Starting with verse 6. 1 John 4, 6. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifest to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Holy Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected. So we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We represent him here in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Okay, that looks like you just get behind it and you just push it right out the door. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. God's not about punishment. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God. Who he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brothers as well. All right, let's stand. So folks, the messages I share on Sunday come from me going to him and saying, "What do you want me to share this week?" You know who's going to be there, not going to be there. You know what each of us is going to bring. And so, if you're not thrilled about my message this morning and that how challenging it was, then you pray and say, "Lord, I want some more encouraging and not challenging messages." But if you feel like this message might have been from the Lord, then let's commit to be faithful to the Word of God that we heard this morning. So, Father, we come to you and we admit that we need your help with this one. We realize that we don't have to do anything as far as bringing you into the situation, because you're already within us. So when we arrive, we bring you and your kingdom with us. But we get to choose whether or not we share our light and our salt. So we ask that you would remind us when we go into situations, when we encounter people that may not respond favorably to us or to the message of hope and life that we share, that you would remind us what love looks like. And love means not giving up, not quitting, not walking away, even when we've been rejected, even when what we had to say was not accepted at first. But we continue to love. We continue to be your ambassadors. We continue to represent you. And we continue to share the message of reconciliation, that God so loved you that he sent his son to die in your place so that you could be forgiven and reconciled to God. So we leave with that message, that ministry of reconciliation today, that we get to say, in Jesus, be reconciled to God. And Father, we thank you that we have a good message that we have to deliver. And we can bring hope into a hopeless situation. We can bring joy into a joyless situation. We can bring peace where there is no rest because we bring you. So thank you for all that you've done in us and the way you've changed us and the way that you've equipped us and been faithful to us, that we go with a message of hope and a message of life. And we thank you personally that you so loved me, that you so loved me, that you sent Jesus, and that you adopted me and made me part of your family. I am your child, and your love for me is immense because you are love. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Have a great day, folks.